It's time for the Wheels of Fate.
Ooh, scary sounding.
Yeah. All right. And you know what I'm going to do, though? Because sometimes we can be masters of our own fate. I want to remove retrospective because we have so many.
Yeah.
You're out of here, buddy. We control our own fate because it's our show. We'll do what we want. So first, we're going to do our year. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Spin it. Jeez. This one's long. I hit it hard. I hit it really hard. 1996.
Okay.
And then let's pick our topic. Oh, here it comes. Video games.
Okay.
And then we get to choose. So we can do trivia, list of four, the case of. Maybe we could just do a list of four. Were you playing video games in 1996?
Yeah.
I wasn't playing much. I'm more of an 80s gamer, but I think we can come up with something for sure.
Yeah, we'll see what was around then.
Yeah. So we'll do four. We'll do video games, and then we'll come back in the future and let everybody know what we're doing, what we're going to talk about. You ready? Let's go through the tubes of time.
And we're back.
We're back through the tubes of time. And we've decided, based on the Wheels of Fate, that we're going to do Nintendo 64 versus the Sony PlayStation.
Yep.
Because these were both came out in 96 or around 95, 96. Depends on where you were.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, the first PlayStation hit the U.S. in the fall of 95, like September of 95. So the first full year was 96. And
yeah, and Nintendo 64 came out in June 96 in Japan, and then just a few months later in September 96 in North America. So they were competitors.
Oh, yeah. Those next few years, head-to-head for both of those systems.
So you decided to take the Sony PlayStation, and I decided to take the Nintendo 64. Because I think you have more experience with the PlayStation, and I have some experience with the 64. So that's how we came across this.
I had a PlayStation 1 not long after it came out. I probably got it in, 96, 97, probably a year or two after it came out. And I never had an N64.
Yeah, so me, I didn't really play PlayStation much. I was kind of getting through like high school stuff and getting into the military at the time. So I wasn't playing a lot of video games. But I do remember my buddy in the Navy, Lopez, had a Nintendo 64, and he was like the only guy who had one. So in our berthing station, we'd hook it up to the TV, and people are like, I want to watch TV. And we're like, fuck you, you're not going to watch TV because we're playing a Nintendo 64. If you got a problem with that, tough luck, go somewhere else.
They were like, fine, I want to play Nintendo 64.
And then we did. You have a bunch of sailors playing Nintendo 64. But it was fun. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to talk about these two revolutionary gaming consoles.
Yep, and definitely direct competitors. I think you went first last time we did a versus, right? So I guess I'll go this time.
Yeah, go for it. Plus your console came out a little earlier, so go for it.
That's true. It did come out earlier because Nintendo kind of copied it.
Not even close.
Because they're like, no, oh, look what Sony's doing. We got to copy that shiznizzle.
No, they were already leapfrogging that shiznit.
Well, did the N64 have a disc or was it a cartridge?
Well, you'll find out. Go ahead and talk about the PlayStation, and then I'll talk about the Nintendo. How about that?
All right. The PlayStation was conceived by a guy named Ken Kutaragi, who was a Sony executive, and he managed the hardware and engineering division. And he's actually dubbed the father of the PlayStation. So it started off actually with a deal with Nintendo, your guys. And what they wanted to do was create the CD add-on for Nintendo. So he went over to Nintendo and he kind of brokered a deal with them. And this was in the late 80s, early 90s, that Sony would create a disc playing add-on that could be plugged into the Nintendo. And then, thinking they had a deal in place, in 1991, CES, Nintendo came out and they were like, actually, no, we're going to go with Philips for our partnership. And Sony was like, what? You lying bastards. So they went and they were like over to the Sega guys. They're like, hey, Sega, do you want to do a deal? And they're like, nah, we're good. We'll do our own thing. And clearly a success for Sega, as we all have Sega gaming systems in our in our living rooms now. So basically what he did was he went back to the president of Sony How would you pronounce that? OHGA. You speak Asian languages?
OHGA?
Yeah.
Oga?
Oga? Oga Udagari? Yeah, sounds right? Yeah, well,
Good
whatever.
enough.
Either way, he went to the head of Sony and he's like, "Hey, why don't we've been working on the technology. We're experts at CD because we'll be making CDs and CD players. And let's develop our own system." And at first, the Sony, most of the executives were like, "Ah, nah." But the president had such faith in Ken Kutaragi that he said, "No, we are going to do this." And so Ken actually got transferred over to the Sony Music Division. So that way he could be a little bit away from Sony corporate and started working on the system, which had like 3D graphics board, 3D polygonal graphics became the primary focus, I guess. And that led us to the PlayStation 1. That first 5 months, it sold more units within 2 days than the Saturn had in 5 months, with almost all of the initial shipments, 100,000 units sold in advance in shops across the country running out of consoles. So whatever the Saturn.
The Sega Saturn.
Oh, the Sega Saturn. That's right,
Yeah,
because the
that
Saturn
was the
came
other
out.
competing
Yeah,
console.
that's what it was, because the Saturn actually came out first of these three. It was the Saturn, the PlayStation, and then the N64 in that order. All right. So anyway, they sold tons. They had 17 game. They only had like 17 games when it first launched, but they were really the first ones to incorporate a lot of third-party game developers, and so that helped them contribute to sales with those first units. And it actually, the PlayStation 1 is actually the fifth best-selling console of all time. So that's how popular it was during its 11-year span. It sold 102.49 million units. And you got great games, Final Fantasy. You had Metal Gear Solid, which I had for my PlayStation 1. Loved that game. It's gotten too complicated now and too in-depth, and it's, you
Like
know,
everything else, it's
yeah,
crazy
exactly.
now.
Now I'm like, you just have to spend so much time doing random stuff, and you're like, I just want to like run around and stab people and shoot people. Gran Turismo and Tomb Raider, the first Tomb Raider game, which I also had and really loved. So I would say the success of the PlayStation, more so than Sega or Nintendo, contributed to the demise of the cartridge-based home consoles. So they weren't really the first to do it, but they were the successful ones, the ones that basically Nintendo's cartridges were like, oh, maybe we should copy the Sony guys. Yeah, so there you go. That's the PlayStation 1. It was the coolest thing to have back then.
It was pretty cool. And it was a new thing because before that you had Nintendo and Sega going head to head. And then suddenly the Sony pops up. It's like, oh, so there's another player in town. Oh, which is, I think it's good. You should have more players
Yeah.
in the market because then you get cooler stuff, right? So development for the Nintendo 64 actually began in 1993. In partnership with Silicon Graphics, and its code name was Project Reality. And they were testing an arcade platform called the Ultra 64. So the final, they named it Nintendo 64 because of its 64-bit CPU. And this 64-bit CPU aided in that console's in the console's 3D capability. So back then it was 3D was all the rage. Polygon graphics. It's not just scroll, you can go different places up and down and all around. This was all very new in the mid-90s. It was designed to compete with the Sega Saturn, but it ended up competing with the PlayStation even more. I remember the games it came out with. One of the advantages is it had Nintendo, it was a Nintendo console. So you had Super Mario 64. Which was pretty cool because it's the first Mario game that was kind of 3D polygonish, and Mario didn't just go a, you know, like a side scroll. He was going around the whole like Mario universe, and that was kind of the first time that that happened like it did. So here's the thing about the Nintendo 64. So we talked about the CD, right? That they were using CDs. They didn't use CDs. In fact, this was the last game until like, or the last console that used cartridges for a long time until they came out with the Switch later. But the cartridge, they didn't use the CDs, and they knew they weren't using the CDs, so they used the cartridges. So these cartridges were like their own ROM cartridges. So they were their own thing. That's why they use the cartridges still, is they're like ROM packs. So one of the advantages of using this 64 cartridge-based system is that the load time was a lot faster. So you change different scenes and you do different things, and because it was a ROM cartridge, you didn't have that kind of load time that the Sony or other CDs had. So that was one of the big advantages of still using the cartridge. So it's not like they were behind. They intentionally used the cartridge. They used a ROM cartridge, so that'd be a lot quicker. It aided the 3D rendering, and it had a lot more vectors and polygraphic stuff because of that. And that's why they still use the cartridge. So they weren't behind. They did that intentionally. So let's just clear that up right now, okay?
All right, keep going. I
So
won't
the
interrupt you.
64 controller had this really cool M shape. It had a little joystick in the middle for your thumb, and then it had buttons, and then the pad on the other side. And this was kind of the first game system that could ha handle. I remember on the ship, we played this game, probably the most popular 64 game, and it was called 007 GoldenEye.
Oh man, loved that game. Had it for my PlayStation as well.
Yeah, but it was probably better. It was known on 64 because it would render quickly and it could do that four screen thing more quickly. So you have four guys playing, and you're going around shooting each other, trying to get each other in this kind of battle mode, and you'd have four people playing at the same time. And that was a trip back then. Nowadays, I guess that's pretty normal. Back then, if you had four guys with a four split screen, you're going around trying to shoot each other up, that was amazing. And it was faster to do it with that cartridge. So the cartridge had advantages. Of course, there were some disadvantages with that too, but that's why they used the cartridges. Later, it came in the color variants, but they were kind of clear, so you could kind of see the innards. But
The
think
clear
about what
phase
you
of the 90s where everything was coming in clear.
think about that now. It's kind of goofy, but yeah, it came out. This Nintendo came out to accolades. So Next Generation magazine called it the best kept secret in video games and the world's most powerful game machine. And when they unveiled it, Time magazine praised the realistic movement and gameplay provided by the combination of fast graphics processing, pressure sensitive controller, and the fact that Super Mario 64 was really cool. So that's another thing about it. The joystick, you could move it around, but you could also press it like a button. So it was all very smooth, and it was all very polygon, very sleek at the time. It's dated now because the whole polygon thing's kind of like obviously 90s, but at the time it was very smooth, very smooth. So it was a heavy, like there were demand for it was heavy, and you had people fighting at the stores. So Time also goes on to say that rare and glorious middle class Cabbage Patch doll frenzy. That's what the Nintendo 64 had people fighting over it. So if you have moms fighting over it at Kmart, you know it's good. Business Wire reported that the Nintendo 64 was responsible for Nintendo's sales having increased by 156% by 1997. And then five different Nintendo 64 games exceeded 1 million in sales during 1997. And all those games that you mentioned were awesome, and I love them, but the new Mario game kind of beat all of those games. It beat everybody. So Nintendo 64, you can knock its cartridge, but they did it on purpose. And it was all new, and it was all fun, and it was all awesome. And I think it had, I just from my memory, I'm not saying the PlayStation is bad. It's revolutionary. It's an awesome system, but straight up loading time. straight up gameplay, straight up speed, I think the Nintendo 64 beats it because it has that ROM cartridge. Nintendo PlayStation 1, you had that kind of slight glitch before stuff would load, or maybe you had a little bit of loading time. Of course, the graphics would be great, but you still had that glitchy loading time kind of stuff that CDs had at the time that the Nintendo 64 didn't. So that's why I think Nintendo 64 wins over the PlayStation 1.
Maybe, but the CD also held more information on it, so you could get more in-depth games. The CDs cost less than the cartridges to manufacture and to buy. And I know you were mentioning all the numbers, but the PlayStation did become the first computer entertainment platform to ship over 100 million units worldwide. So, there is that as well.
Yeah, that's a lot of units. And the CDs, we talked about this in the past where you had like CDs and you had a book of CDs. So if you were like a hardcore gamer,
You
you
had
had
your
a book
CD
of the
book.
CD book. You can't really do that with the cartridges as well.
Well, and the PlayStation had those memory cards. You remember the little memory card that you could
Oh,
actually
yeah.
plug into the front of it, so you could actually even store extra information on there. You could save your profiles and that kind of stuff with them. So it was kind of a cool little feature. You could take your little memory card and plug it into your friend's PlayStation and have your info with it. And
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I remember later my buddy got some kind of accessory to it. I think, oh, here it is. It's called a 64DD. It's even bigger than the Nintendo 64 itself, but it's a disk drive so that you could play Nintendo 64 disk-based games.
Oh, so that was probably that, what did I say? It was Philips partnership, maybe, I wonder.
Maybe it could be, but like there were certain games that only had like that you could use a disc for, and you could put this kind of disc player and stack it. It's kind of like a stereo system where you could stack it up. And then they tried to do some kind of online service at the time called RandNet, but they only did that in Japan. That never really got outside of Japan.
Yeah, I'm
I don't
looking
know
at
if
this
this
deep.
4DD was super
No,
successful or
it kind
anything.
of reminds me
Yeah,
of a printer.
it
It's
looks
kind
like a
of big square. Looks like the little front piece where you put the paper in, the top piece where it becomes sliding out. Like, yeah, this looks like a printer to me.
Yeah. But it still I think the cartridges were a good call because they were different than the other one, like other systems at the time. And I think they were like LA Times said this, quite simply the fastest, most grateful game machine on the market.
It's the LA Times, whatever, man.
I think it was, and like I said, I think it was just a bit faster and more elegant than the PlayStation. There's a bunch of Time magazines and LA Times, they're backing that up. They compared it to the Sega Saturn more. Which a lot of the magazines at the time were calling it fragile. So the Sega Saturn, I think both of these systems probably beat Sega Saturn and in turn probably destroyed Sega. This was Sega's last stand with the Saturn and
They definitely couldn't keep up. Well, I guess I should mention some reviews of this too. So, Next Generation magazine reviewed the PlayStation, and they said that the GPU and sound processor is stunningly powerful. They praise the focus on 3D, complemented by the comfort of its controller and convenience of its memory cards. They gave it a 4.5 out of 5 stars. To succeed in this extremely cutthroat market, you need a combination of great hardware, great games, and great marketing, whether by skill, luck, or just deep pockets. Sony has scored 3 out of 3 in the first salvo in this war. Entertainment Weekly said the PlayStation is a technological marvel, rivaling that of Sega and Nintendo.
in 1996, the year we're talking about, Time named the Nintendo 64 Machine of the Year, saying the machine had done to video gaming what the 707 did to air travel. Time magazine, Machine of the Year.
What do they know? They're Time Magazine. In 1997, Electronic Gaming Monthly, they know games. They gave the PlayStation scores of, well, that's a bunch of, oh, multiple editors. 9.5, 8.5, 9.0, 9.0, and 9.5, their highest score they gave to any of the consoles they reviewed.
The Nintendo 64 also won the 1996 Spotlight Award for Best New Technology, and Popular Electronics complimented the system, their hardware specifically. They called it quite impressive and found the controller comfortable to hold. And I think they're right. I really like the Nintendo 64 controller, especially with those shooting games. It had a little trigger on it too. Remember that?
It was a cool
That's why
controller.
it was so good. It was kind of cool because you could go around with your little thumb joystick, but you could shoot with the trigger. It really felt real, dude.
Yeah, it was a cool controller. I think the thing with the Nintendo is it's more like, well, especially now, but even then, kind of aimed at children. So I think once you grow up a little bit and you become a sophisticated gamer and you're looking for quality and depth to your games, you switch over to a PlayStation from a Nintendo.
Well, when I was sniping my buddies and their heads exploded on 007, I would beg to differ on that statement.
Boy, that game deserves a retrospective on its own.
That game was amazing.
So many hours playing that game. It was the best game of
Yeah.
who knows,
It
whatever. I
was
mean,
probably the best game of the mid to late 90s, I would say.
100%. Totally. Yeah.
So at least we can agree on that.
We can agree on that one. We can't agree on the N64 over the PS1, but we can agree that GoldenEye was the best game.
Yeah, it might be interesting. I don't know if this is even possible for us to like play again because I didn't play the PlayStation all that much. And you probably didn't play the 64 all that much. So I think we're both probably a little skewed toward our platforms. Because we played them more.
Yeah. It's like, I
So I
like the
would
one
be
I played because
interested.
I didn't have the one you
Yeah.
played.
I like apples over oranges because I basically never had an orange.
Yeah, pretty
Like it
much.
doesn't work. But maybe if I don't know, if there's some listeners out there, if there's some friends out in internet land who can tell us how to get these systems or if they're even still around, or if you have opinions on it and you played both. I'd like to hear in internet land which ones they like more and why. I would be interested to know that because I'm kind of biased. I think you're kind of biased, but if there's anyone out there who played these kind of equally or played both of them a lot, I'd be interested to hear people who have maybe a little bit more insight than we do on both.
Totally. There's got to be people out there that played then or might still have them now, found some used ones somewhere and picked up games from both and plays them. I wonder if there's like cafes or coffee shops where they have like, because there's that pinball place in Seattle.
In Seattle, the Pinball Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's like a coffee shop that has like old gaming systems plugged in somewhere.
So at Seattle Center, for a while, they were trying to kickstart this gaming museum. It wasn't the museum itself because they didn't have one, but they had a bunch on display and they're like, hey, we're thinking about kickstarting this new kind of museum. And they had video games and consoles from the 80s and 90s, and they had all this cool stuff. I have some pictures, maybe I'll send them to you. We can post them, but they had like you could play some of them, and they had games in there, and you could play them too. I think they need to kickstart that kind of like place where you can go, like the pinball
Yeah.
museum, but like a bar or something, or even a museum where you can go play old school video games. I think if they're going to do that, Seattle would be the place where they do that first. Maybe they even have that kind of thing.
Well, and they do those occasional releases with systems. Like they actually did a re-release of the PS1 where they had a bunch of games pre-installed on it. I know like Atari has done that. I think Nintendo's done it as
Nintendo,
well.
yeah, I had
Yeah.
a little t tiny NES and it had all the games on it, which was amazing. You didn't even need cartridges. I tried to get my son to play it and he was like, this is stupid and boring, but I was like, whatever, dude. So they need a like a little Nintendo 64 and a little PlayStation that you can just buy for like not a lot of money, but it still has the gameplay.
Yeah. Does he have a gaming system at all?
He had an Xbox 360, Xbox One. So he was really big into Xbox, which is a whole nother. That's when Microsoft came out, what, in the 2000s
I think early 2000s.
with their own thing. He doesn't play. He does a lot of PC gaming. He's got a lot of studies and stuff that he's doing, so he doesn't have time for video games because
Oh.
we actually like care about his education. Not like when we were kids, right? Yeah, you gotta play video games for like 17 hours a day. Go ahead.
Yeah, our
But yeah,
parents were like, as long as I don't have to deal with you, I don't care what you're doing. You guys are like, son, you're going to get an education whether you're happy about it or not.
But yeah, he would be an Xbox person.
That's what I have. I have an Xbox now.
Yeah. But nowadays it's just too, even at this time I thought, wow, this is so complicated with the 3D and with the joysticks and buttons and triggers. It was getting pretty complicated. Nowadays, I don't, man, if you stick me in front of a modern gaming machine and said, go play these modern games, I'd be like, I don't know what's going on.
Some of them I like, but some of them, and anytime I don't like playing online though. That's my problem with a lot of them. They're all designed more to be online gaming. And you just get on these people that like sit around for hours every day playing these games and they just kick the butt out of you. And it's just not any fun.
Right, because you actually have a life outside
Yeah.
that game.
It's like I just want to sit down maybe for a couple hours on a Saturday when I'm not doing anything and play some video games. And it's like, oh, minute in, I just got killed. Oh, look, I made it a minute and a half this time before I got killed. That's great.
Yeah. He has a Switch too, which is a pretty impressive thing.
Yeah, those would
It's
be
like a
quite
Game Boy.
popular.
You can play it on by itself like a Game Boy thing, but then you plug it in and then it's a console. And it's pretty fun. It's got a lot of games that I can do because it's not hardcore whatever online with the geeks kind of thing. It's just kind of a fun gaming. So that's a pretty cool gaming system.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. A buddy of mine, his kid has one, and when I hang out there, he's like, hey, and he does. Yeah, he'll plug it in. You get one controller, he gets the other, and a few fun games on there.
Yeah.
Well, since we're kind of getting off track, I guess we should probably wrap it up here. As you heard Jamie say, if you have an opinion on either of these two gaming systems, preferably if you've played both of them, let us know what you think because we are a bit biased in our opinions. You can reach out to us on the web at the80sand90s.com. You can shoot us a message on Instagram at the80sand90s.com or leave a review on the podcast player app of your choice. Just in general about us, a review or a comment to this episode on the Podbean app. And with that, we are out of here like Sony and Nintendo's partnership, where one becomes the winner and the other is for little kids to play with. I'm talking about yours, by the way, with the little kids one, in case you were wondering.
Do they even make PlayStations anymore?
Yeah. They have I think they're on the five now. Now it's
There
like
you go.
hardcore gamers play the PlayStation. This is like
Oh.
VR headset, like,
Well, look,
yeah.
it's not little kids, and it's people who don't want to sit around and do hardcore geek online gaming. It's people who just want to have a little bit of fun. That's what Nintendo's all about.
They want to play that tennis game that because you get the
Oh, the
little
Wii.
controllers, the Wii, yeah, the Wii. Toot,
That
toot.
was fun. See, they come out with fun stuff.
It was a novelty for a while, but nobody has them anymore, do they?
Well, no, because it's outdated, but it was fun. They
Right,
come
if
out
you
with fun stuff. Nintendo's all about fun. It's not little kids, it's people having fun.